This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
I grew up in this district, as was mentioned before, attending games at old RFK Stadium. It was a special place. Many of our early memories as a football fan were formed there, watching the great teams and sharing the experiences with my family and the tremendous fans of this team. A generation of fans growing up rooting for the team did not have that experience, but the next ones will. And I could not be more excited for them.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell at yesterday's announcement that the Commanders and DC have a deal at the RFK site for a new stadium. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. In 17 minutes at 3:20, we're giving away another pair of tickets to tomorrow night's Caps-Canadians Game 5 at Capital One Arena.
Your pals, we're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morab, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
I got no deal breakers for me personally. I am curious, as we hit the phones here at 800-636-1067, what would bother you guys about a stadium in D.C.? And if the trade-off is a bridge too far, the things that seem the least popular so far is that it would be enclosed as a roofed stadium. To me, that's a no-brainer. I actually think it's a strength, not a weakness, and it's also just a non-starter. You're not building a stadium in the city that does not have a roof because you can't do the things you need to do to make the money necessary if it doesn't have a roof. I just also think it's, while romantic and cool to say, I want to be in the elements, the snow, there's more people that don't than the people that do. So, bottom line, it's... Now, we could talk about it, but it's going to be okay, trust me. And you're going to be okay in 70 degrees, enjoying yourself when it's freezing or hot out, and you're just very pleasant.
You'll get used to it pretty quickly, too. I'm telling you, these dome stadiums where the noise is well-engineered, and all of a sudden it becomes like part of the pride of it. Like, I understand the outdoor, there's nothing like it. Like, the 2 degrees, it's freezing, and everyone's yelling, and it's awesome and intimidating. I'm telling you, you could still get that intimidating right on top of you feel in that dome stadium, maybe more so.
The best stadiums in the league mostly are enclosed right now. You think about the Vikings, that's considered number one in the National Football League. Allegiant is the best that I've been to. And yes, a retractable roof would be better if money wasn't an object.
That's my first choice, but that's an extra bill.
Harris and Company ain't spending more than $2.7 billion or whatever the number is now. And unless D.C., which already doesn't want to pay what they're asking for, which is the second biggest investment in public money for a stadium in NFL history behind the current project in Nashville, unless you want to add to that, you're not getting a retractable roof. It's just not realistic. Parking, I do think, is going to be an issue. And I do think not only is it a problem because you can't park there and drive there, which a lot of people want to do, but tailgating is going to be lesser, and I think it's important culturally to this fan base. Let's go to Larry in D.C. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. Me and my buddies, we gave up tickets, and I haven't been to a home game since 2008. Anytime big games were going, I was flying to other cities to watch games because the experience was so much better. And, you know, last year really kind of roped me back in. I love everything the Harris Group is doing, but I'm having flashbacks hearing about bad parking. You know, how do we get rid of, when I was a kid, in order to buy tickets in the neighborhood, you had to show a picture when you bought the tickets of you and your family in then Redskin gear to buy their tickets. They wouldn't even sell them to fans. So if you don't have the parking and the tailgating, how do you build all of those memories again? I think it's a big, big concern for me. You know, when you go to Northwest now and you're in that way back stadium, and again, I haven't been there since 2008, but it would take over an hour and a half just to get out of that stadium.
Yeah.
I can't imagine with, you know, a lot less, let alone no one has talked about the traffic on 295. I think Danny mentioned it a few minutes ago.
I did, yeah.
30 years of more population, and they've done nothing to 295. You couldn't get into the stadium back in the old days to begin with.
You know, it's a good phone call.
Right on, bud.
You laid it out well. I think they're banking on the vast majority of people taking public transportation. And you've talked about where you could do it via water, maybe, and there, you know, a lot of people will bike to the game from around the city or whatever. I think they're banking on the metro.
Yep, big
but
time.
My issue with that, if I have one, I guess, is there's no talk about a second metro stop and or doing any real work other than just touching up the current metro that's there. Do we need a second metro stop on the other side of the premises, or is it going to work right there at the Armory? I'm not really sure. I have not gotten off that metro and been there in a long, long time. That's how I got to the game many, many, many years ago. But I think the idea is that there's not going to be more than 7,000 to 10,000 people driving at any given point, and that almost everybody else is going to get there via ride shares, that they want to have a state-of-the-art operation in that way.
So now the Nets Park situation was and will always be different. It's 81 games. It's a different animal than that tailgating culture. But something thoughtful was done. That bullpen right across the street or right up the street, up, you know, 100 yards from the center field gate, that became the hub, and that's kind of the local watering hole. So that took the place of what tailgating would be. You're hoping that, again, something is thoughtfully done in and around the stadium here, this new one at RFK, if it indeed goes through, where – yeah, you don't get to take up 1.5 spots and get the little propane grill going, but you do get to play your bean bags. You do get to play your the different ring toss games and whatever, drinking your beer in a big field or some sort of locale like the bullpen has, something like that. I'm not saying it's the same, but
yeah,
that might be their answer. The idea what they want is you head down there at some point in the morning. You get off the metro, you get off the whatever, you walk over, you're on campus, and you have your grand old time, and then you walk into the game. That's their sort of counter-selling point to where the new era is going.
The story in the Post is that the 8,000 parking spots would almost all eventually be in a garage. So we're not talking about really any legitimate parking lots
right. For
tailgating, which was a report from Eric Flack, if you remember, going back a couple of months ago when we had him on the show to talk about this. So it's not out of nowhere. And at that time, the response we got from fans was actually very negative, and a lot of them saying, I'd rather be in Maryland than in D.C. if I can't tailgate. Now, I think they'll come around on the possibility of restaurants and bars. You know, that guy said, how am I going to make my memories? How am I going to have an experience if I can't park and I drive there and tailgate and do some of that? It's a different experience, but you know, if you're going to restaurants and there's sports bars, if you're hanging out Navy Yard style and the garage doors open on a nice fall day for the restaurant, or you're sitting right out front of the place on a street that's closed down or on the waterfront maybe, it's harder with kids, you know, being around people in a bar atmosphere. I don't love that, but there's a lot of things about taking kids to a football game over in Landover right now that aren't that fun either. Let's go to Sean in Alabama. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, bud?
So my question is, what is going to be a must food or local DMV restaurant that needs to be a concession stand inside the new stadium?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, the easy one, thanks for the call, buddy.
I mean, the iconic spot is Ben's Chili Bowl.
Exactly.
That's the first thing that jumps to mind. And I'm sure they'd be well represented, you would think.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
How about some Pupatella pizza?
Oh, hello there.
Our good friends at Pupatella. We just did a show on Friday. They made us VIPs.
Now, do you think our VIP cards would work there too?
They'd better. They work
happens
at all 11 locations.
Uh-huh. Now, who's used? Raise your right hand if your name is Grant and you used it this past weekend.
Boom goes the dynamite.
My hand is up.
Caps watch party.
Atta baby.
There where pizza's consumed.
Atta boy.
Pupatella making a play. What do you think? What would you need there?
That actually is a fascinating question. I mean, obviously, just because the history, what it means to the city, Ben's Chili Bowl is probably the first thing they should do.
Rockland's Barbecue?
Yeah. A couple local spots like that. I mean, and there's... I mean, really do it up. Do like the jumbo slice from Adams Morgan. Do, I don't know, put like every iconic easy spot in there. Like you can't, like Rasika's amazing, for example. One of my favorite restaurants in the world. Probably wouldn't fit at the new RFK. Or,
and you're not doing fine dining.
Yeah, like
you're
I love the Red Hen. It's an amazing Italian spot, but like, what, you can't put that
there,
right?
You're just naming nice DC restaurants.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm running through my brain. I wasn't ready for the question. That's a great question.
You can't do, to your point, like high-end stuff that you're doing in a shirt and tie with your buddies.
Yeah, put the Italian store in there.
That's a Danny Rie staple.
Get me one.
I could get behind that. Yeah, I like that idea. It's a great question. I'll have to think about it more. But you can hit us up, by the way, 800-636-1067, discussing some of what you would need at the stadium and or any potential issues that you have. Just thinking about the complaints that I've gotten a bunch of. The PSL thing, people hate that. I totally get it.
And by the way, you're right. I'm going to hate it too.
Yeah, it's a thing. Terrible. It's a useless. I mean, it's great for the people that make the money off of it, but it's it's like a timeshare. It's kind of a crock to me. I'm paying money for the right to pay more money.
Yep.
Explain it better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But it is also what happens at stadiums now, and it's how money is made to fund this stuff. So it's just part of it.
Yeah, it's I know how to say it a better way than this. It is a cash grab when cash is needed. In other words, a whole bunch of money's going into this thing, whether, you know, and whether it's from borrowed against future values or the pencil Olympics where they're moving money from one column to another and debt gets serviced in this way, and then but you're paying it back with a rent that's only a dollar for 28 years and all these other kinds of things. The point is they're gonna need some cash.
Yep.
That's how they get it. That's a cash raising thing, and it sucks for the fans. It just does.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
But you can either stay in a crappy stadium that nobody wants to be in and not have PSLs, or you can build a Taj Mahal state of the art. And by the way, you're going to pay a lot more in tickets, too. I mean, we haven't gotten to that part either.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And that doesn't make, I know everyone wants to act like the billionaire is the jerk and that's mean Josh Harris or whatever. It's just the business of it. It's what happens if you want a new stadium. I don't know that there's ever been a new stadium where prices went down.
Yeah, you put together six plus Billy. At a certain point, you'd like to start getting back in the black. You know what I mean? Like, I get that. Like,
yeah.
I know. It's not ideal, and it's going to be a rough adjustment, but I understand it.
What about the great American restaurants?
Oh, there we go.
How do we involve them on site?
So, like, a best bun situation fits.
I need a GAR on the campus in D.C. so that I could eat there before games. But Chris said, how about Aussie rolls and the burgers from the GAR spots? Sure.
Yep.
I'd love to get a basket of Aussie rolls in the second quarter to my seat while I'm watching Jaden Daniels throw a completion to Luke McCaffrey for 19.
Second quarter Aussie rolls sounds pretty good.
Let's go to John in Bethesda on Grant and Danny. How you feeling about the project?
Hey, fellas. I'm feeling stoked. All right. I think we're really nitpicking right now because if I'm being honest, out of all the times I've been to FedEx, it's the most unmemorable experience of going to a football game. And I get the tailgating's fun and all, but that stadium's in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing there. It's a mile walk to the metro. And to expand on the metro, I feel like that's going to be the make or break point for this new stadium. They're going to have to develop the metro. And I don't want to use this as an exact comparison because Capital One obviously does not hold 65,000 people. But I had a buddy who went to game two against the Habs last week, and he told me that they were so efficient at getting everybody out of that stadium and getting people onto the trains and onto the metro. He said he was home in probably 35 minutes, and he lives up in Twin Brook. So I really think that this stadium is the best thing that's going to happen to this team because all I think about when I think about FedEx is just bosses – and Dan Snyder. That's literally all I think about.
Not a bad summary.
That's the association.
You forgot all the losses and the not relevant postseason football and the lack of playoff games. But, yeah, your point is well taken. This is a gigantic win. It's absolutely one of the great days in organizational history if and when the vote goes through and they pull it off. My point is just it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be trade-offs.
Right. And that's what it is. That's the phrase, is trade-offs.
Yeah, and not being able to tailgate is going to kill me, but it's going to be something you just got to get over and figure out. Tailgate Ted just hit me up, by the way. So they sent out a survey, I guess. They emailed to people. I don't know what fans or who this is, if it's season ticket holders or what. But it asks if you prefer an all-inclusive tailgating option held by the team. Now, who knows ultimately like what this poll ends up meaning in terms of their actual planning. But I guess that would be something where you could go and quote-unquote tailgate, maybe bullpen style, as you said.
Right.
Where the team has some type of venue at the stadium where you could pay and go and be a part of the tailgating atmosphere. And maybe it's, you know, it's not you cooking on the back of your truck on your grill, but you're going buffet style down the line and getting a tailgate and hanging out with people throwing bags. I mean, they're going to have to do something like that to replace the experience for the people missing it. Let's go to Paul in Waldorf. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Yeah, hey,
I'm an old school guy, but, you know, times are changing. I think it's time to embrace all this, including the name. The stadium is a brilliant idea. I mean, they're going to make it right. The ownership group here knows what they're doing. It's going to be unbelievable.
Appreciate you, brother. Yeah, I mean, again, they've earned the benefit of the doubt to me, Harris Ownership Group. And it doesn't mean that it's a perfect track record or everything they utter is going to be the exact right thing. As you said, there are going to be trade-offs, right? There are going to be things that we go, ah, man, that's not my favorite way to do it. But for me, what I think they've earned is a chance to win you over with the new way of doing it. So because you've been doing it a certain way for 20, 30, however many years, and they should be grateful for that, and they should be doing as much outreach as possible to folks that are going to have to make a big adjustment for this new stadium, and I presume that they will do that. But let's find your new routine. Let's find your new game day. This is what we've got for you. Pick from this menu. If you don't see something you want, let's try to implement that.
It's what you're going to have to do, but it's understandable that people don't want to do that.
Absolutely.
And by the way, they wore it and got kicked in the mouth long, long time. And now you're saying, hey, the thing you like the most about your experience, you don't get to do anymore, but you're going to pay a lot more to do it our way. It's just not that fun to hear.
I totally get that.
Anthony's in Calvert on Grant and Danny. What's up, Anthony?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
It's a mistake, man. I mean, we don't need the wine and cheese crowd, you know, jumping on the public transit from D.C. to go to RFK or from Northern Virginia to go to RFK. I mean, this team was built on the old school, the fun, the atmosphere, the hogs. I mean, you need to have some sort of tailgating. And I'm not talking about buy tickets to our non-impervious surface. You can play on AstroTurf, which has an approved drainage plan, so you can, you know, play in cornhole. I'm talking about, like, you need to have some aspect of traditional, old-school, do-what-you-want tailgating.
I agree. They've got to find a way. But the Post story backs up the reporting that was done by Flack, who we had on weeks ago. He said there will be very limited to no tailgating. The Post suggested all 8,000 spots would be in garages, ultimately. Or the vast majority of those. Very, very limited non-parking garage parking. And just to my knowledge, I don't know if parking garage is where you can tailgate. Generally, with a roof above you, you're not really allowed to do it.
Yeah, you can't really get the hibachi going.
Maybe there's some new technology I don't know about.
The smokeless hibachi.
Shane's in the city. What's up, Shane?
Commander Grant, it's a great day for D.C. You guys know how I feel about that. How you guys doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Good, brother.
Hey, look, here's the thing, man. They can put any restaurant down there. They don't put the Ben Chili Bowls, that slop down there. Let's just get rid of that off the bat. Number two, we need a good barbecue place out there. This is great. There's not really a good barbecue place out here now. And the American Grill, by the way, Grant, I don't know if you've been there or not, the one in Springfield, just opened up a new barbecue place. It's actually not bad. It's better than Famous Dave's. You need to check it out. I know you love your American Grill, but you got to check it out. But you know what? This is a great day for D.C. This is a win-win. And by the way, the last caller, last time I checked, there's nothing wrong with wine and charcuterie board at all. And you know what?
That's board is it?
The Carcucci board.
What board are you talking about there?
The security board, man. You don't know what
the
that
security
is?
Board. No. What's a security board?
No, that's security board. That's the Southern accent. You're just joking. You're joking on your board.
I'm messing with my guy.
That's like me saying Eric's the enemy. You know, how long we played that game for 2 years?
I know where you're going with the charcuterie board, my guy. I appreciate you. You know he's going to be there.
Yeah. Shane will be there front row when he's not setting up a data center in Bulgaria.
I was
going to
say,
like
what country is he in the week before he gets there? We got tickets every single hour on the show, 20 after the hour for the Capitals. Game 5 tomorrow night with the Canadiens. Caller number 9 right now at 800-636-1067. You're winning tickets to the game, Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com. DC.com. We're going to be joined next by Kenyon McDuffie, a D.C. council member, to see how likely it is that the plane gets landed on the RFK site in a new stadium in the nation's capital.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:15 tonight. Nats, Phillies in Philadelphia. I'm actually excited about this series for a few reasons, but the Nats have Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin going in the first couple of games of a set against a playoff-bound team in their division. I think this is one of those litmus test series to see where you're at because you got your number one, your number two. Two guys are going to give you a chance to compete and win against Philadelphia. You're taking on a Cy Young caliber arm in the National League and Zach Wheeler tonight. You know, they talk about wanting to win. It looks like they've turned a corner a little bit since the first week or two of the season.
Well, here you go.
So
right?
Now we get to find out. You get three games. If you find a way to win that series, you hit the road going to Cincinnati, taking two of three from the Phils after taking a series from the Orioles, splitting with the Mets, taking two of the first three. We could start talking about this team maybe in the light of they are playing a lot better baseball.
Yeah, all that I think the bar right now for the team, given that, you know, the offseason was disappointing to a lot of people, but I'm looking for Frisky. I'm looking for that you're not just here to be an also-ran when you go up against the big boys, right? Like a 19-5 thrashing yesterday, okay, if that happens one time, it just is. It's just part of baseball. But you start getting beat up in the division like you did last year, it'll be hard for me to kind of buy into some of the rhetoric.
We're going to be talking to the first of a couple of D.C. city council members that are going to be joining us on the show today. Kenyon McDuffie coming up in just a couple of moments. McDuffie, according to reports, is for the team coming back into the city and building the RFK site with the public money that is needed. So we'll ask him about that. And then Charles Allen, who's on the opposite side of the spectrum, we will talk to him coming up at 4:30 in about an hour. Remember, we're giving away Caps tickets at 20 after 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock for the remainder of the show today here on G&D on The Fan. But I want to hear what Kenyon McDuffie says about some of the issues that the chair, Mendelsohn, mentioned on the show yesterday that I'm sure Charles Allen will bring up when he stops by in just a couple of moments. So I've done some back-of-the-napkin math here, and this is what I've got so far. Four yeses, the four council members that were on site yesterday that were doing all the interviews saying that they want this, Felder, Pinto, Bonds, and McDuffie. Two no's, and that's council people that have put out statements. Nato said straight up, I will not be saying yes to this. It's a no for me, dog. And then Allen, I've got in the no column. And then five to be determined. They only need seven votes. I don't know what I don't know, and I'm not pretending to know anything about D.C. politics, but to me, when you've got four before this thing ever starts, this is going to be way easier to me to get done than what they had to do at Congress, and they found a way to do that. So I feel really good about this. I know there are nerves. I get the angst that people are going to have because of what happened to Ted Leonsis, but I think we're in a good place here.
I think it's as good as can be expected. Seriously. And my point all along with every part of these proceedings, whether it's this specific step or steps in the past, it probably will work out, or there's a great chance it does. But everybody that was counting chickens, I always thought was folly. So, again, I'm as optimistic as you can be, given the number of rug pulls that D.C. local politics has done in my lifetime. Various stadium promises have happened in my lifetime. So I've seen enough to know once the shovel is in the ground, that's when I'll be, you know, clapping like a seal.
We'll get to the council member when he calls in. In the meantime, though, something that we have not gotten to discuss since the weekend, short show yesterday, the Shedeur Sanders fall. The fall from grace for Sanders, who was expected to be in the top five mix. We saw him linked at 2 and 3 overall to the Browns and the Giants. And then round one ended. We talked all day Friday about how early he could go in round two. And then he didn't go on night two in rounds 2 and 3. And then on day 3, he didn't go in round 4. It took until the Browns finally ended his wait in the 5th round for Sanders to be picked.
Wild.
One of the most shocking draft stories in history.
There have been guys that have fallen, right, where they went way later than we anticipated. I don't know about that. I mean, I can't remember one like that, where I know guys that we thought had a first-round grade and ended up going in the 3rd. I think of Malik Willis off the top of my head. And there have been others where it looked like there was momentum for them to go in the middle of the 1st round or early in the 1st round. Or if it's not at 9, it could be at 21. If it's not at 21, someone will trade back in. The shocking fall. Now, what was crazy is, remember, on Friday, we're going, hey, where do we think he's going to end up, right? Where's he going to go? And I was like, well, Cleveland's got the first pick of the 2nd round. I think it's Cleveland. I was wrong, but ultimately, I guess I was right an entire 24 hours later. Insane.
How
that's
that
how it
work?
Happened.
Do we get to claim victory on that?
No, I do not, personally. I don't think there's any way. Because my goal, well, because they got the first pick of the 2nd round, well, so that's what'll happen.
Danny Hutae. Just to let you know, though, you would win at a sports book because you didn't say they'd take him in round 2 or whatever.
Because Cleveland had the best odds.
You just,
so,
like, if you bet before the draft that the Browns would take him and you got plus 250 or whatever, I think you probably hit that bet.
I think I still win, yeah.
Unless it's specified, and I don't know that it did, that they take him at number 2 overall. I think it was just team to take him.
Little asterisk there later, not exactly. 24 hours later, idiot. But
I mean,
yeah.
There were a lot of things about that process that I found odd. Number one, the prank calls of Shedeur Sanders were unacceptable.
100%.
That goes without saying. Mm-hmm. And we now know that the leak came from Jeff Ulbrich's son. His son, Jax, this is the defensive coordinator who became the interim head coach of the Jets, who's now moved on to a different organization. But his son, Jax, supposedly didn't get the number from his dad, just saw it on his computer, then took it with him as he went to whatever school he's at. Him and his buddies are sitting around, probably drinking, watching the draft, and they prank call Shedeur Sanders, and they're dumb enough to record themselves doing it. I mean, how stupid are young people to record yourself doing something that you shouldn't be doing? Doing it is, in fact, the issue,
yeah.
Right? But to record yourself doing the thing that could get you in immense trouble is even worse.
Let's keep evidence of this, guys. Yeah, that's tough. That was completely unfair. That was horrible. That's awful. I feel for the kid. Now, you know, this is a relative sports. How am I trying to say this? Like, he fell in the draft. He's still in the NFL. There are a lot of guys who didn't hear their name called at all. A lot of
Correct.
Dudes whose dreams came crashing down, et cetera. So, like, the kind of the outrage or the after the fact, again, he did not deserve the prank call. That's 100% unequivocal. That's not fair. But the idea that he's this huge victim of something terrible that's happened, some sort of sports travesty, I thought was a little bit over the top, right? Like, he fell in the draft. Again, the micro percentage of people that pick up a football, that want to go pro, that want to play pro sports, don't get to.
It's well said.
So, you know, I there's a little bit of perspective there.
I did feel terrible for him, though, because
it's
so public. It's the worst thing that's happened maybe in his life, but certainly in his football professional life. And you're living it out publicly. Like, two things to me are true. I think he and his father, Dion, made his bed largely, or at least helped make the bed that they had to sleep in. And number two, I still have great empathy for him. Like, both of those things can happen and coincide at the same time. Because hours and hours and hours over 3 days, you're publicly with cameras in your face, just staring at a screen, waiting for news you have no control over at that point, and everyone's laughing at you, and the internet's being mean. It's just not that cool.
Yeah, it stinks.
But little things like he didn't have an agent. I said this with Lamar Jackson, and everyone said, he got his money, he didn't need an agent. Well, he got his money because he's a 2-time MVP. That's why he got his money. He didn't get his money because he didn't have an agent. You see what I'm saying? Like, he was going to get his money anyway. If he had an agent, maybe you're not pranked to the same extent because your number's not out there. And instead of having your number, Jax is seeing your agent's number listed. And that could have gone differently. But also, it just sounds like, via all the reporting that's been done, he didn't take the process as seriously as he needed to. Whether it was angling for certain teams so he big-leagued other teams, whether it was acting the entire process, both he and Deion, like you get to draft Shedeur Sanders, not Shedeur Sanders gets to play for you. And that's kind of the emphasis I think that I saw put on how he conducted himself, comported himself before the draft. It rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And at that position, they think every little thing matters. Every little minor detail. They're watching at Topgolf. How do you interact with the other guys? They are trying to figure out how many peas you eat and put on your plate next to your mashed potatoes with your ham. Like, it all adds up. And when you go into a room and people feel like you don't want to be there or they have a meeting with you that goes unlike any they've ever had, you're going to get dinged for it. And if it was a few teams, I would get that. When that many teams felt that way about him, obviously they did something poorly in the process.
It's the only missing ingredient that we're not privy to, right? I mean, we saw the play on the field. We saw the attributes. We saw any of the public comments. And, you know, whatever he did at the combine or individual workouts, et cetera, those are the data points that we all got access to. That's the mystery box. So my logical conclusion, I don't know this for a fact, I haven't talked to all 32 teams, obviously, was something went awry there. Something was really off. Something went amiss, right? Pretty elementary.
By the way, it's not that surprising. Like, there was a time where he was wearing Giants-colored cleats when he wanted to be drafted by the Giants. Deion Sanders supposedly was tweeting, thank you, Jesus, or whatever, every time the Raiders would lose, I think it was, because that's where he wanted them to be in Vegas. Like, there were these things along the way where...
There were signs, yeah.
Wait, you mean they were doing that, and then somehow the process didn't go seamlessly, and they didn't play it out the way that they probably should have? And a lot of people have said to me and suggested it's the same as, you know, Archie Manning and Eli Manning. I disagree with that. Archie Manning and the Mannings, what they did on draft day, I also hated. And it was a pain in the ass for him to say, I'm not going to go play there. The comp there is John Elway, who said no to the Colts like Eli said no to the Chargers and went and played in the big city with the Giants. But the difference was Archie Manning is not one of the most popular sports personalities in America, who's on podcasts and shows constantly, who's at the podium doing daily press conferences as a college football coach. It isn't the same in any way. And I just think that, fair or not, everybody piled on. After a couple of years of Deion bringing his Louis, and you know, you want to be the big man on campus, and all of the things that they did that made people feel like they were the bullies, and now you get a chance to pile on this kid as the worst thing's happening to him, and I hate that it happened, but it's obvious. People are going to take their shot.
Yeah, I also would offer a couple of things, because everybody loved to make that same comp, right? Same as Eli. And I, by the way, I never forgave Eli for that, and I still haven't, by the way. I think it was preposterous. The difference is that's the prohibitive number one overall selection, a future Hall of Famer, right? I mean, that was the anointed one. Whereas Sanders, I actually liked pretty decently as a quarterback prospect, but it wasn't the same. I guarantee you, if he was as good as Caleb Williams, or if he was as good as Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck or some of these other guys, they would have overlooked all that crap.
That's a good point,
right?
Too.
But the fact is, he's good with wrinkles, and as soon as the juice is no longer worth the squeeze, I ain't squeezing. I think that's how all the teams felt for, you know, nearly six rounds.
Yeah, it's complicated because I think he is absolutely good enough to have been drafted maybe in round one, certainly in round two.
I thought so.
He's got some fatal flaws, possibly the sack rate. He's going to get sacked a million times. But, you know, in texting with one coach in the league, they said he's an average athlete with an average arm, and he's probably going to be a bit of a pain in the butt. You know, if he was an elite athlete with an elite arm and he was going to be a pain in the butt, maybe you'd feel differently. And I don't even know if it's him that's going to be the pain in the butt or the fear of whatever comes with Deion Sanders, right? I mean, after he was drafted, how many parents got on the phone with the general manager? Did you see that video? Where Shador's like trying to talk to the Browns or whatever. He's like, all right, thanks a lot. And Deion's standing there going, give me the phone, son. Give me the phone. And he like hands his dad the phone and he's talking to like Andrew Berry. He's like, put Andrew Berry on. I want to talk to him. How many dads are doing that? Like, that's just an example that we see publicly of a video that they put out where you go, I'm not telling you that the teams are right. I'm just telling you this is what they perceived as not wanting to deal with this circus. So whether you, if you take issue with that, take issue with the teams. But they don't want to be on the phone with the dad right after the draft. They want to talk to Shador, tell him you got a press conference tomorrow, and then not talk to anyone until he shows up at the facility.
Yeah.
And go back to work. That's what they want to do.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a bunch of folks, you know, they're like, people don't like him because he's an individual and he's expressing himself. He's doing this, he's doing that. I'm going, did you see anybody that's been drafted? Travis Hunter went 2 overall, had a suit with like a hole in the middle of it and like a tassel connecting the double-breasted coat. And
is beloved by every team.
Yeah,
top of draft boards and dancing all the way down the hallway. Nobody had an issue.
Yeah. Caleb Williams was painting his nails and rumors about him wanting to own a piece of the team came out. Like, it doesn't matter.
Cam Ward doesn't have a personality?
Yeah.
I bet he does. I bet he's a pretty fun guy to hang out with.
Right. I'm just saying, it was one of these things where they're trying to like over... make him the victim, and it's like, it's unfortunate. The level of piling on is unfortunate. But at the same time, it's like, there's a bed here that you made. You're getting some rest in it, and now we can't believe that. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm arguing against everybody, my usual position.
Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Plus, I do want to play some quick audio of Mel Kiper melting down about Shador not being drafted. He had him number one on his board.
Yeah, he had a ton of time.
It was a tough weekend, man. I don't know why. Mel at some point just started taking the whole thing personally.
He's done it before. The Jimmy Clausen situation had him in all for Klempt.
But this I think was different.
This is the one scene.
G&D on the Fan. At 4:20 in 1.5 hour, we'll give away another pair of Caps tickets to Game 5 against the Canadiens tomorrow night. By the way, we'll be broadcasting at Capital One Arena ahead of the game tomorrow. So if you're going to the game, come by sections 106 and 107 in the main concourse after you get in on the main level, and you will see your boys broadcasting live ahead of playoff puck. Play that Mel Kiper clip of the meltdown from this weekend as Shador Sanders was free-falling into the fifth round.
This is personal.
Has he had an off-the-field issue? No, he has not.
Mel, you don't have to sell it to me.
I don't know what we're talking about here.
You're right. But Mel, the draft has spoken.
That's right. That's the key, Mel. It's not putting a value judgment on whether those who passed are right or wrong. They did.
Yep.
So now, whenever you're in circumstances in life, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether they're fair or whether they're unfair, you might have to deal with them.
That's right. Now
Shador Sanders has to deal with
everything.
And for whatever reason, whether he played a minute, microscopic percentage, 0%, or it's a legitimate criticism of the way he conducted himself during the draft process, this was the result.
Yeah.
Now he has an opportunity to answer it. I think yelling at the NFL about it is not.
There's not a quarterback. Boomer Esiason was not happy when he was second round pick.
That's such a funny thing from Reese Davis.
Yeah.
He literally yelling at the NFL. He's saying to his, talking to him like I talk to my kids.
I mean, if he had.
He had just had enough, you could tell. He'd been there for hours. Mel Kiper.
I'm sure people are chirping him.
Every commercial break. Well, I'm talking about Reese Davis.
Yeah.
Every commercial break, Mel's going, how's he not been picked yet? And finally, after just hearing Mel complain and talk about it, I mean, that's such a funny tone he took with him. He said, yelling at the NFL about it is not the answer. That's so funny. All right, play the clip.
Boomer Esiason was not happy when he was the second round pick.
Tom Brady was not happy.
They dropped. How'd they turn out?
Nobody's arguing that can happen.
Racy, the NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterback. Clueless. No idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many times
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterbacks? They don't.
But that he made at the end there is irrelevant. And I think that's what Reese was annoyed by. He's going, yes, the NFL didn't like how he handled it himself. They don't trust this person to run their organization in a lot of these buildings. And that's the referendum that's happening here. And Kiper's going, they were wrong about Jimmy Clausen. They were wrong about this guy.
They were wrong about two great examples of guys that slipped out of the first round. He didn't mention Drew Brees. But yes, the story is time-honored. It's just such an odd thing
so
how
weird.
Personally you took it. And again, if he had... and nobody does have a spotless track record, but if he had a good track record with quarterback evaluation and selection, then it would be much easier to kind of have a leg to stand on. But when he's like, that the league is entirely clueless about evaluating quarterback, like, the top of my head, I can think of a dozen where you were so wrong. And by the way, I'm wrong all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm not sitting here telling the NFL they're idiots for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this should be about analyzing the fit and the draft and this and that. And you could go, man, I still can't believe Sanders hasn't been taking it. But like the personal affront that he took because he was number one on Mel's board. I mean, it's obvious to go full Jordan on, he took that personal.
I guess for whatever reason, and I don't know if he has a relationship with Shador or Deion or what, but he would bet on the person in a way that the teams would not. And I think he was taking it personally because he thinks that the guy is a guy that you can rely upon, that he's going to be a worker, that he's not going to be a pain, that he isn't kind of above the rule of the team, that the perception of him is not reality. But he's going so hard that I just wonder how much due diligence he's done in that way. You could watch all the tape you want to. I'll trust his evaluation of the quarterback, respectfully, regardless to what you just said, because everybody gets quarterbacks wrong.
Absolutely.
But he's pretty good at this. But did you have meetings? How much time has he spent around Shador Sanders or Deion Sanders? Or how much intel does he have on how the meetings went? That's what this was about, not the football player. Mm-hmm. So to sit there and scream about it is crazy, and I think that's what Reese Davis was trying to say. But between Louis Riddick trying to calm him down and be like, Mel, the league has spoken, like, enough already, and then Reese Davis telling him, patting him on the head, going, they're there now. You can't just keep yelling at the whole National Football League. It was hilarious television.
It was. I mean, I normally am like, now I have a higher radar or higher threshold for, like, the cringe TV. Like, I can't do it to the same degree I used to. I couldn't take my eyes off it. That train wreck was live and in slow motion. And I'm like, oh my God, these two cars are going to collide. And I couldn't quit watching it.
It was amazing.
Unbelievable.
We will Beltway Blitz next. Spin you around town with the teams you care the most about. The Caps play tomorrow trying to end the first round and beat Montreal in 5 games. The NFL on some of the key non-Shador Sanders storylines. And then the Commanders with their draft class complete. We're going to talk to a member of the Ole Miss media who followed closely the second-round pick Washington made at 61, Amos, who's going to help in their secondary. So we got all that coming up on the Blitz. Charles Allen, the congressman from D.C., stops by at 4:30. And remember, we got Caps tickets we're giving away in 25 minutes to Game 5 on The Fan.